Sister Danielle, what a great thought. Hope you know what the song is talking about, communing with the Lord in the secret place. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to the Old Testament. We're going to use an Old Testament story this morning for the message. If you'll go with me to the book of 1 Kings, I'd like for you to go 1 Kings chapter 22. Chapter 22. I want to speak to you on the subject, and you'll see it in the story. I want to speak to you on the subject of lying to yourself. You know, we have little cliches in this modern world we live in. To thine self be true and stuff like that. A lot of folks excuse what they do to their self. More than they should. And if you're going to lie to anybody, would you really lie to yourself? Yeah. Well, some folks try that. Somebody says, well, you can't lie to God. I understand that. Nobody, including the devil, can lie to God. But a lot of folks try it, don't they? Yeah. Sure try it. Well, our story begins here in chapter 22. It actually begins further back than that. I'm going to read a number of verses. I hope to reference almost the whole chapter in the message this morning, if you'll listen fast. But in chapter 22, we're dealing with two kings to start with, a good one and a bad one. The land of the Jews has been divided, and you got a king sitting on the throne that's known as the king of Israel. His name is Ahab. He was one of the vilest, meanest, worst king. He was married to a woman by the name of Jezebel. You don't find any girls named Jezebel today. You may find some you call Jezebel, but you don't name them that because she was a bad queen, amen? And she had a lot to do with Ahab, the king, being very bad. But on the other hand, you have another king in the story by the name of Jehoshaphat. He was the king of Judah, and he was a good king. And he was one that wanted to obey the Lord, and yet you find him here in a relationship that he shouldn't have gotten in. You find a lot of God's people in relationships with the wrong crowd that they shouldn't got into. It says in chapter 22, verse 1, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. Been a short peace time now. By the way, that's still in the news, isn't it? Syria is still trouble today for Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. In your King James Bible, that's capital letters for Lord, if you look at it, every letter. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord, small letters now, except for the capital L, shall deliver it into the hand of the king. See, it's the wrong Lord, different Lord. These 400 prophets are the prophets of Baal. Jezebel had brought Baal worship into Israel. That was her god. And so what you have here is when Jehoshaphat says, inquire of the Lord, Ahab inquires of the wrong side. He goes to the prophets of Baal. And Jehoshaphat picks up on it. Notice it in verse 7. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord, the right Lord, besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man. By the way, in the worst of times, God has got a man. Yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. Watch the next statement. But I hate him, for he doeth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." So I'm going to have to talk through some of this for the sake of time now. What we find here then is Ahab sends for his servants. He tells them to go out and to get Micaiah. In the meantime, of the 400 prophets, there's at least one of them that makes himself an object lesson. He takes like the set of horns and he gives a little object lesson there, a little show off in front of the kings. And he tells Ahab, "You take these horns and you'll push Syria away. You'll win over them." And he gives that object lesson. In the meantime, now they send for Micaiah. Pick it up in verse 13. "And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying," watch it now, he's coaching him, "Behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." In other words, you better be politically correct. Right? I mean, I'm talking about the subject today has to do with lying a little bit, lying to self. You know, we're in the biggest time of deception and lies I've ever seen in America. The spin on the recession and everything else, every way that you turn. People are real good about covering up the truth, aren't they? Fellow went to the doctor, his wife sent him, said, well, she told him, "You're just not good for nothing. You always say you don't feel like doing anything. Go to the doctor and see what's wrong with you." He went, the doctor examined him real thorough, and finally went in the little room with him and said, "Sir, I can't find a thing wrong with you except you're just lazy." Man said, "Quick, doc, give me a big word so I can explain it to my wife." We like to spin it, don't we? We like to turn it. We like to dodge the truth. So they tell Micaiah here, "Now you be politically correct." You know, I like kids. They're not politically correct. They'll tell you the truth, you know. They'll tell you the obvious. Parents took some kids to the beach, and one of the little girls ran over there to the edge of the beach and called mom over there, and she'd found a dead seagull at the edge of the water. And she showed it to her mama and said, the seagull, why is it dead? And the mother said, "Well, I guess God wanted a seagull in heaven." The little girl said, "Then why did he throw it back?" Kids will give you the truth, man. They'll call it just like they see it. Amen. And no politically correctness there. But they tell Micaiah here, "Now you be right." The rest of these preachers, the whole convention full of them here, told the king he can go win the battle. Now don't you hit a discord. Don't you say anything wrong. And so they usher Micaiah in now before the kings. But I tell you what I like. I like honest man. And look at it in verse 14 of this chapter. Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." I like that. Now, you know what he did, though, as he walked in there, he knew the program. He knew what he was up against. And as he walked in there, he kind of mocked them. His first message was, "Oh, yeah, go on out there and win." That's what he said to Ahab. But Ahab read his expression and knew he was being facetious. And he said, "I adjure thee now, tell me the truth." And then Micaiah let him have it. He did tell him the truth. And he told him that, I kind of like old Ahab speaks to Jehoshaphat and said, "Did not I tell thee he would prophesy no good concerning me?" That was after Micaiah told him in verse 17, "I saw Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." And he was telling Ahab, "You're not going to win. You're going to lose. And your army's going to be scattered." And Ahab said, "Well, I tell you, I knew he'd say that." You know what he did to him? He had him take him and arrest him. Send him, put him in the prison. You know, today we got a lot of folks that want to kill the messenger because they don't like the message. And that's exactly what you have here. And but Micaiah's an honest man. He's not politically correct. And so we find here that Ahab wanted to lie to himself. He wanted to believe the lie. There's three things that's revealed, three facts here in this little story. To begin with, Ahab did not trust his own prophets. 400 of them. He knew they were yes men. He knew they'd say what was politically correct. So he didn't trust them. The second thing was that he knew in his heart Micaiah was right, that he was telling him the truth. But the third thing was he preferred the lie to the truth. He preferred the lie to the truth. And in that sense, he was lying to himself. Now, there's some things we can learn right here from all this, and it's a good, powerful story here. We can learn to begin with that the lie appeals to all of us. You say, not me. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It flatters us. You know what they teach salesmen? They teach salesmen to find something good about you and say it when they're trying to sell you something. You ever notice that? Now, I need a new suit, and when I go, the salesman, if he's smart at all, you know what he'll do? He'll start trying to sell my wife. Now, she don't wear the suit, I do. But he knows her opinion's gonna be pretty big. Amen? And I resent that. I'd rather come out looking like a clown and make my own decision, bless God. Amen? But common sense says I better listen to her. And a smart salesman knows that. So when you go to buy something, he's already trained in some of that area. And, you know, he'll tell you, well, you're a good-looking, handsome man. You know that's a lie. But you love to hear it. Amen? Amen. We all find the lie appeals to us. It flatters us. Many times it's dodging the truth. The lady stepped on one of them old-fashioned scales that gives you a little ticket, you know. Gives a little ticket, a little message on it. Husband looked and saw she had a frown on her face as she read the ticket. And he said, what's the matter? You weigh too much? She said, no, but I ought to be 6 inches taller. Oh, yeah, we find a way to twist it and to spin it and to dodge around. But here's what happens with a lie. It encourages us on our predetermined course. See, Ahab wanted to go down to Syria. He wanted to fight. He was enlisting a good king, Jehoshaphat, and all his army and all his horses. He wanted to go down there and defeat Syria. He wanted some help doing so. He already had a predetermined course no matter what the prophets had to say. And the prophets of Baal, they knew the answer he wanted, and they gave the answer that he wanted, but Micaiah was different. He said, no, I'll only say what God tells me to say, whether it's popular or not. And so the lie encourages the predetermined way we've already chosen. And I see folks sometimes, they don't want to be confused by the facts. They don't want to hear the truth. And to a great degree, personally, we're all that way. We want it to turn out the way we'd like for it to, and the truth sometimes gets in our way. As a pastor, I do my best counseling from this pulpit as I preach the Word of God, but on occasion I do counsel with folks, and I find a lot of them come and sit across my desk, and their way is already predetermined. It's not, preacher, what should I do? It's, preacher, condone what I am doing. See? The truth will get in the way. Now, I feel sorry for folks, and I oftentimes do my best to try to be as kind and sometimes say no in the nicest way I can, but still have to be like Micaiah and tell the truth. Tell the truth. Friend of mine, and nobody will know who I'm talking about, not a church member, but a man I went was friend with through much of life, got separated later by distance and states and so forth. But he drove a long way to come and counsel with me. He was a saved man, and he wanted my opinion on something. And he came in my office and sat down and began to tell me how his wife was acting, how she was doing this, doing that, how things were different. And he said, I know you. He said, I know you'll tell me the truth. He said, what do you think? I hated to tell him the truth. I really did. I said, my opinion don't amount to much. I said, I don't really know. I want to know how you feel. What do you think is wrong? I said, well, I'm going to tell you the sad truth. And I hate to tell you, but your wife's got a boyfriend. He said, it couldn't be, could it, Mickey? I said, I'm sorry to tell you as a preacher, but I find it could be. In less than 6 months, he called me back on the phone. He said, that was some of the hardest news I ever had to take. But he said, you were dead right. You were dead right. And he said, we are being divorced now. Now that's sad. I've had parents sit in my office and I had to tell them the truth on their kids. And they didn't want to hear that. And I didn't want to give it. We all want to hear something better than something worse. And we'll get to the place we want to hear something so bad we'll lie to ourselves and let the facts just run all over us and ignore them. Sad to say, but that's what we humans are. And here old Ahab wanted to go to battle. He wanted to go. He didn't care what God had to say about it. He was going to do it anyway. It was predetermined. Don't confuse me with the facts. And folks, there's a lot of Ahab in every one of us. We all have our determined way that we've already chosen. And if we're not careful, we look at our nation today and see this on a national scale. I mean, the propaganda coming through the news, coming out of Washington, coming out of the White House, coming out of the Congress, it's a long way from what the truth is. The recession's over. If you hadn't heard that, they've been saying that for a long time. A little something wrong with that. The unemployment keeps climbing. A little something wrong. The truth messes things up, don't it? Facts get in the way. But they brainwash you. I mean, we're brainwashed to believe that we can keep borrowing money to spend and to give away money we don't have and everything is going to be rosy. That's a lie. It's a lie. It would be a lie in your personal finances. It'd be a lie in your business. And it's a lie in the nation. But we still want to do it. All kind of lies being told nationally today. But notice, they brought Micaiah, they coached Micaiah. See it in verse 13 that I read to you. Over there they said, well, you tell them what the rest of them saying. In verse 14, Micaiah said, no, I'm just going to tell the truth. And so he gives the truth. Pick it up in verse 17 of the chapter. And in verse 17, he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did not I tell you he would not prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. Now here's Micaiah telling him something that God made him privy to. Look at it. Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him, on his right hand and his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up on and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? How you gonna do it, spirit? And he said, I'll go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Now Zebedekiah, he's the one here with the made the horns before. He comes and hits Micaiah when he gives him this message. And the king orders Micaiah put in prison in verse 27 and makes the statement, put him in there and give him the bread and water of affliction till I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken all you people, every one of you. Now what you have here is even the good king Jehoshaphat ignoring the word of the Lord. So what do you have? You have an unequal yoke. You have the believing king and the unbelieving king. You have the good one and the bad one, and the good one gets trapped. And you know, good folks get trapped today when they start messing around with the wrong crowd. And you got this, you got Jehoshaphat now trapped to go into battle. And yet he's already heard from God's true prophet that God's not going to bless, that they're going to lose. But he goes on anyway. Now you have an interesting situation here as you look at it. Micah gave the truth. That's every preacher's duty. Proverbs 27 says, open rebuke is better than secret love. He also says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now think about that the next time you go to the preacher for counseling. Yeah. Human beings. I come to Landmark, but I didn't like it. Why didn't you like it? You didn't like it because you heard the truth. You wanted somebody to tickle your ears and send you out feeling good about yourself. That I am just a good guy. Praise God, I graced God's house with my presence today. Is that the way you feel? Hey, folks, that's the world we live in right now. Goes down there where some preacher shucks the corn and throws the cob at you and you can't stand it. Can't stand it because that's not what you wanted to do. That's not what you wanted to hear. But you heard it anyway. So you go somewhere else that may, you may be in great disagreement with their, with some other things. Maybe they use the wrong Bible, play the wrong music, dress the wrong way. But you'll go down there because they don't bother you. Amen. And I'm preaching as much to the crowd out there in Radio Land as I am in front of me. Somebody told me not long ago, he said, I listen to you on the radio. He said, I'm going to a church. He said, I don't belong there. I don't fit there. I don't agree with me. I said, well, why don't you come visit with us? He said, my wife won't let me. Boy Scout honor. How you do that? Boy Scout honor. Yeah. Wonder what it is that she don't like. I'm just talking truth here with you, just kind of joining in with Micah here a little bit. I mean, he told the truth. You know, I do know this, folks. I know there is a price you pay personally when you say what this book says. And I've been 40 years at this church, and I've paid the price many times. And I don't like that. I'd like for everybody to be my friend. And you that know me, you know how nice and kind and gentle and sweet I am. And I don't like for folks not to like me. I'm as human as you are. But if I got to make a choice between being right with God and telling the truth or telling somebody what they want to hear, I got to choose like Micah did here and be a prophet of the Lord. Amen. I know there's a price to pay. I've paid it before. Now, Micah paid it. He went to jail. Man, he went on bread and water. I mean, what got him in trouble? He didn't kill anybody. He didn't steal anything. He just told the truth. Just told God's word. That's all he did. That's all he did. But you know, there's a price you pay. Now, I don't believe you ought to go around being obnoxious. I try my best not to do that. I try to be, but when it comes down to is God right or is man right, I got to choose with God. And you say, how you know what God said? He wrote a book. And I've got the book. Amen. But you know, I look at this whole thing, what a story this is, and I see the results of lying to self. Now, Ahab lied to himself. He lied to himself. See, in verse 30, he's got a plan here. Now pick it up in chapter 22 and look at it in verse 30 and see what Ahab decided that he would do to get around the word of God, to get around the truth. And I want to ask you personally, you pulled any tricks to get around the truth? The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself, verse 30, and enter into the battle. But put thou on thy robes. Now, I don't know how Jehoshaphat got this dumb. But when you yoke up wrong, you get dumb in a hurry. And this king said, I'm going to disguise myself. Now, you be the target. You put on your robes. They'll shoot at you instead of me. But put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel That's Ahab, disguised himself and went into the battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariots, saying, "Fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel." And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, he had on his robes now, that they said, "Surely it is the king of Israel." And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. Boy, he was in trouble. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. Now here's the king, Ahab. He's out there in a disguise. He set up Jehoshaphat as the target, but it doesn't quite work. Wonder why it don't work. Do you understand you can't disguise yourself from God? Oh yes, God saw through the disguise. Wonder how many of us today wear a disguise. Wonder how many of us might come to church with a disguise on. But you can't disguise yourself from God. Ahab tried it. It didn't work. It's still being tried. Christians today tried. Let me say to you, mom and dad, husband and wife, when you get in the car to come to church, are you fussing all the way to church? If you are, the kids in the back seat see your disguise. They see the real you, and then they see the disguise you put on before you come in church. Amen. This is not a good amen sermon. I understand that. Better watch out for that. I mean, if the kid saw daddy go out and get in the car before church and he's blowing the horn and hollering, "Come on, woman, come on." Finally, he's got the motor running going, "Woo, woo." And finally, you get outside and you run and get in the car, and you've been trying to get that last bit of cooking started, and you've been trying to get primped up best you could, and maybe you got the younger kid, and you finally get in the car and you slam the door and your dress is caught in the door and it's dragging the road all the way to church. But when you get on the parking lot, somebody else don't like this. The husband gets out of the car, goes around, opens the door, and says, "Honey, when'd you get here?" And he takes you by the arm and walks in the church. That little boy is following behind with his head bowed, saying, "Hypocrites." Amen. I just used my imagination there a little bit, but probably got close to home with some folks. The truth of the matter is, you can't disguise and fool God. Needs to be real. Needs to be honest. He sees through it all. And here we have old King Ahab with his disguise on. He goes out into battle. He thinks he's safe. He goes out there and decides, I'm going to be all right. And I fear I see a lot of God's people today wearing disguises and trying to be pretenders. That's why the world calls us hypocrites. Did you know that? I mean, they're looking for something to hide behind, and I'll say it to you that are looking for one. If you can find a hypocrite to hide behind, he's bigger than you. And number two, he's closer to God than you. So that's no excuse if you're unsaved that you can find some that claim to be God's people not living up to what you think is right. But at the same time, that's no excuse for you, and it's not a disguise for you if you're unsaved to try to hide behind somebody that's not the best Christian they ought to be. You're not immune from being disguised. There's a lot of folks that are unsaved, and they're lying to themselves. They're saying, "I'm as good as he is. I'm as good as she is." And you know that you're not able to earn your way to heaven, that you're only going to be saved through the grace of Jesus Christ that died for your sins on the cross, but you're hiding in a disguise saying, "Well, when I can live it." You never will be able to live it, and you know it. You're hiding behind the excuses. You're hiding behind those kind of statements. You can't earn it, and you can't compare yourself to others and get by. No, you can't. So, in a sense, you're walking around with your own little plan, trying to deceive God, hide from God. That's what Ahab did. He goes out in the battle. He's disguised. The king of Syria don't recognize him. The soldiers think he's just another soldier. I mean, he don't have his chrome wheels on his chariot. He's probably fixed it up to look really ordinary. But there's one that knows right where he's at. Never lost sight of him. Knows exactly what he's doing. So how you know? Well, then look at it in verse 34. Here's the battle, the dust, the blood, the hollering, the horses, the chariots, the wheels, the noise. All of that's going on. And look at it in verse 34. And a certain man, unnamed, a certain man drew a bow at a venture. Look at me a minute. Look up here. Shooting a bow and arrow, pull it back. It'll only go so far, but if you aim it up a little higher, it'll go a little further. And if you aim it up real high, it'll come down. And he drew it at a venture just to see if it would hit somebody. He didn't know who Ahab was. He didn't have Ahab in mind. He just said, I'm going to get some of the enemy wherever this arrow falls. And he draws it and he lets go. And he says he drew it at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. See, it didn't only go up and come down and find Ahab. It found a crevice in his armor, a crack in his armor. Coincidence? Not hardly. Not hardly. Accident? Not hardly. God took that arrow like it was a modern missile. He brought it to the mark he wanted it to hit. And it went in the crevice of the armor of King Ahab. And wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand, carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. You remember that he died. And it says in verse 35, and the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. The battle's over now. They've been defeated. Army's retreated. Verse 37. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. They bring in the bloody king in his chariot. They get him home, so they didn't bury him. But look at verse 38. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. You understand that this was no accident? It was God. Go back to chapter 21 and read verse 19. You got Elijah now. Many years has gone by since Elijah confronted Ahab in the vineyard of Naboth. You remember the story how he had Naboth, Jezebel had Naboth killed so Ahab could steal his little vineyard because it was close to his palace. Remember the story? Naboth's vineyard. Ahab goes down to possess it after Naboth's been stoned, he and his family. And then you pick it up. Elijah meets Ahab in the vineyard, the prophet Elijah. Verse 19, and thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord. This is Elijah's message, prophet of God to Ahab. Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord. Watch the prophecy now. In the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Years go by. Where's the warning of God? Where's the prediction of God? Where's the promise of God? Why hadn't judgment fallen? Ahab's sitting up there in his robes. He's enticing Jehoshaphat to go into battle with him. Where's God? God hadn't missed a thing. And when that arrow comes out and comes down, that adventure, it finds the very spot God wanted it to hit. And then one takes the chariot with the blood in it. He takes it out to a location to wash it out. The same location where they set Naboth and his sons on high and stoned him so Ahab could have his vineyard. Oh yes, God hadn't missed a thing. And you find what happened to Ahab. What happened to him? Well, he lied to himself. He wanted to believe the lie. He ignored God's warning, God's prophecy, God's judgment, and it happened just like God said. I want to say to you today, it's real easy to slip into this attitude that Ahab had and not be honest with yourself. Are you here today and do you honestly know for sure you're saved? That if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Could you be lying to yourself? Well, I'm as good as other folks. Well, I joined the church when I was a kid. What is it you're hiding behind? Are you lying to yourself? Do you know you've been born again? Do you know your name's written in heaven? Do you know for sure if you die today, you'd go? Do you know? Do you know? God wants you to know. He wants you to know. It's a dangerous thing to lie. It's a dangerous thing to lie to yourself as well as to other folks. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Ahab said, it seems right. I'll even get one of God's kings. I'll get Jehoshaphat to go into battle with me, and I'll disguise myself. I got a plan. God won't get me. But he did. And there's a lot of folks today think they've got a plan to get around God's word, get around what God said. But you're not going to get around it. Don't lie to yourself. Face the truth. I hope you are facing the truth here today. Are you saved? Do you know it? If you don't, be honest with yourself and get saved by trusting Christ as your Savior. I pray you will today. Let's bow our heads.